is the future of wrestling. You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother.
You guys talk about being students of the game.
Yes.
I am the game, JR. There is nobody that eats, sleeps, or breathes this business more than me.
Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. I knew it. I'm a winner.
And that's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold said so.
You do not go rock on a man who's got a machine gun.
You are now listening to The Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D.
It is Thursday, February the 26th, 2015. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. That's www.gerwek.net. I want to welcome you to the latest edition of The Gerwick Report podcast, where today we're going to cover a lot of different topics going on in the wacky world of professional wrestling. Real quickly, let's say what's up to my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
What's up out there, everybody? It's the same shit, different day with Frank D here on the GRP. You know how me and Steve do it, and you can do it too by checking us out right now at ProWrestlingTees.com. Type in Gerwick in the search bar. Get one of our three designs, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. You get that retro Nitro-style GRP shirt, retro Raw-style GRP shirt, and also the two sweet black and white-style GRP shirt. All the shirts done by our boy, the Wrestling Jackal, over there. So check it out right now, ProWrestlingTees.com, and you type in Gerwick in the search bar. That'll take you to our official store. You got to be representing GRP. You got to have the official T-shirt, baby, and that's how it goes. So check that out. Also, YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Just recently uploaded the Ted DiBiase interview in two parts, so check it out right now. YouTube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Soon to be uploaded, Terry Runnels. Also, Paul London coming very soon to the YouTube channel. You guys check that interview out. That was a crazy one that we did with Paul London. Right now, I want to also say that you can listen to us on TuneIn Radio. TuneIn is available on various different platforms, including the Android market, iPhone, iPad. It's available on the Roku devices, also on your smart TVs. You can go on there and check out the show. 100,000 stations on there, Steve, and plus 4 wow. million different podcasts that the GRP has to compete with. So check us out right now on TuneIn Radio. Type in Gerwick Report Podcast. Check us out on there as well.
That's the one I listen to the most. I have that downloaded on my Android phone. I listen to various radio stations, and one that's actually in the UK. And, of course, I have Gerwick Report on there as well. You can check out all our previous podcasts. You can do it at Gerwick.net. But if you have the TuneIn app, I was just looking at it today. I was going back 20 podcasts previous. You can check all that out at the TuneIn app. Just download it on your Android or your smartphone. As Frank said, on your Roku. I have it on my Roku, Frank, and I'm sitting at home, and I can just type in Gerwick Report on my TuneIn app on Roku, and there's the Gerwick Report podcast. So I can actually listen to us through my television.
That's crazy.
But as Frank was saying, you'll definitely buy a T-shirt from the T-shirt store. ProWrestlingTees.com, type in Gerwick. And as well, you know, Frank, if I know times are hard. You know, we plug the Audible trial
right.
that people can also check out. It, you know, right now, if you can't spend the money, one of the best things you can do is just get the word out about Gerwick Report Podcast. Go on your social media. Go on Twitter. Go on Facebook. Go on Instagram. Use some of our graphics. Go on the different Facebook discussion groups. Let them know that you enjoy the Gerwick Report. We have a different perspective. We're two longtime wrestling fans. We have great guests all the time on this show. Ron Simmons, WWE Hall of Famer. Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man Hall of Famer. We just had Terry Runnels. The Paul London interview. My goodness, if you missed the Paul London interview, you got to check this out. As Frank said, man, this guy covered the waterfront. He's talking about the reason he don't trust WWE and that he the reasons why he probably wouldn't go back to WWE. He talked about lowball offer to go to TNA after his WWE release and the 97-cent royalty check. Now, Frank, we've heard over the years about royalty checks in TNA. And I know one time you were talking about a $5 royalty check from TNA. I would think 97 cents is about the lowest you can go on a royalty check.
Don't push them because you might be saying that and they might come around and say, hey, we got one for 25 cents. Not knocking TNA, though, okay? Not knocking the talent in TNA and currently where they are with the product, but Come on, man. Really, 97 cents? It costs more in postage to St. Paul, London, that damn check, than it is the actual check. So, I mean, that's pretty wild to even say that. But like Steve said there, we have great guests all the time, and the way you can support the GRP and show us that, you know, you appreciate what we do, which is to entertain you, which is to entertain you with some of the best guests that we can possibly get here on the GRP, you got to support us by just spreading the word, you know what I mean? And get a free audiobook, you know what I mean? It's a free service. It doesn't hurt to try something for free.
audibletrial.com/gerwig.net. Audiobook that you can have for free, even if you don't subscribe to the service. So definitely check that out. And as I said, right now I know times are tough. Frank, I just heard the other day, in the United States, it's a 20-year low for home ownership. Incredibly shrinking middle class. I know times are tight. People are working two or three jobs. But if you can't afford a T-shirt right now, you can't afford to go on Audible and get your free book and possibly sign up for their service, just spread the word about Gerwig.net and the Gerwig Report podcast. Additionally, as I said, definitely check out the Paul London interview. Talks about Ring of Honor and the reasons why he's no longer with Ring of Honor. Very interesting to see what happened there. We talked about the Chris Benoit situation. Talked about Chris Canyon. Banning the 450, the death of kayfabe. One that you got into quite a bit was the limo angle.
Right.
Where Vince McMahon's limo blows up and he had that smirk on his face that everybody remembers from that angle. And people are like, what is going on? Why is he laughing? Well, he gets into that. And I think he's got some logical explanations on what was going on there. And it's amazing that they didn't go back. And as he said, they could have easily did take two, take three, take four. And they weren't happy with it. They could have cut that out.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is that he talks about a very interesting perspective as it relates to how WWE and Vince McMahon views talent. You know, how he views talent that, you know, they always talk about, well, taking these risks and reaching for the brass ring. Well, listen to Paul London's comments, the guy who actually worked for the company. He worked for the whip. And he's going to tell you exactly how Vince McMahon views people who take risks.
Absolutely. So definitely check that out at Gerwig.net or our partners out there, such as TuneIn, you can download and listen to the show. It's a must-listen-to interview. Even if you're not a big Paul London fan, just the perspective he brings. I mean, he's been in Ring of Honor. He's been in TNA. He's been in WWE. He talks about NXT, concussions in wrestling, which is a hot topic right now, Frank. He talked about sustaining concussions in WWE and not going diagnosed. And the one thing I thought was very interesting as well is, who does Paul London think is the sloppiest wrestler that he ever worked with in the ring? And he actually had an interesting name. So definitely check that out at Gerwig.net. Our previous interviews are there. And the Paul London one we just did, three parts. Even if you're not a big Paul London fan, I think you'll really enjoy his perspective. Because Frank, the guy, tells it like it is, like we do here on the Gerwig Report podcast.
Absolutely. And I want to send a special shout out right now to our good friend over there at Wrestling Soup, Anthony Missionary Thomas, for doing that kick-ass GRP intro that you heard at the beginning of the broadcast today. We really appreciate him doing that. And want to give a quick plug right now, Steve, because, you know, Wrestling Soup tonight, they're going to have the Solid Monster on their show.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be a very interesting show. You can check that out tonight, I believe, at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So check that out tonight, the Solid Monster and Wrestling Soup collaborating once again. So that should be very entertaining. Frank D will be listening, so check it out.
You know, maybe we should have the Solid Monster on our show.
Could be. Could be. You know, interesting. We can, you know, maybe have, you know, do some collaboration with Wrestling Soup as well.
Yeah. Well, definitely stay tuned. Bigger and better things coming at the Gerwig Report podcast. But, Frank, let's get into what's currently going on in sports entertainment, pro wrestling, whatever they want to coin the phrase this week.
Well, let me stop you right there, Steve, because you just said it right there. Sports. Keyword. Because, you know, WWE just became the number one sports channel on YouTube.
Wow.
Right. They surpassed the NBA. Did you know that?
Yeah. NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL, NHL, and ESPN, and NASCAR. Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy to me. So it's like, wow, WWE, I mean, they actually have something to be proud of. I mean, not only are they the number one sports channel on YouTube, but also it's the birthday of the WWE Network. It was the birthday week. Can you believe that?
I'll be honest with you, Frank. I don't believe I've ever been on WWE's YouTube channel. Exactly what is on it versus what's on the network?
Basically, it's a bunch of clips from, you know, Raw and SmackDown are on there. They I think they have a top 10. So you get a lot more content, in my opinion, on the network than you do on YouTube. But if you're on YouTube, man, it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to go check out the WWE channel. I'm a subscriber to their channel. Because sometimes they have, you know, I think they do the pay-per-view previews and stuff on there. So they have a lot of content on the channel, and they have content over the years on their YouTube channel. So sometimes they have, like, you'll see where they posted full length matches. So they have a lot of different content up there. They do. I have to give them that.
Well, I would hope there's more content on the network, since you're paying your $9.99 for the network.
Oh, I think there is. I mean, if WWE, I mean, at one point on their YouTube channel, they were actually posting pay-per-views on there. So, like, I think one of the pay-per-views they have on there, like, was Halloween Havoc, right? So they have that on there, but it's broken up in different parts. And I also know they had Goldberg's home video that came out years ago at WCW called Goldberg, Who's Next? Well, that was on there. I think it's still on there, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, but you get a lot more content for your $9.99.
Even though it might be chopped up, heavily edited, and all the music missing. But other than that,
you get it for $9.99, yeah.
You could watch that very exciting Fastlane for just $9.99. And, in the month of March, I can hardly wait for WrestleMania, Frank. Just $9.99 on the network.
I mean, Steve, can you feel the buzz? I mean,
my God. The buzz, the incredible.
Buzz.
Wow.
I go places and people are just like, they stop Frank D because they know me because I'm a celebrity, right? But they stop and they talk about WrestleMania, man. I'm in the DVD section at Walmart, and I'm looking at the wrestling DVDs, and people are like, why the hell is he looking at that?
I just can't wait for Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I'm just so excited. Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, now they set up at the Fastlane pay-per-view. That's coming. I can't wait to see Daniel Bryan against Sheamus? No, wait, not Sheamus. Daniel Bryan against... Who's he against, Frank?
I'm thinking just like you are. I don't know.
Based on what I saw in the SmackDown results, and if you don't want spoilers, like, fast forward a minute here. I mean, they are setting up what looks to be a five-way match for the IC strap with Wade Barrett or Bad News Barrett against Dean Ambrose, probably Daniel Bryan, and based on what I've seen and read now, R-Truth and The Miz being part of a five-way match for the IC Championship. So, Frank, the most over guy they have right now, Daniel Bryan, is not going to be in the main event. He's not going to be in the semi-main event. He's not going to have a one-on-one match with Sheamus. Probably not part of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Why are we doing this Battle Royal again?
He's going to be in a possibly... Now, again, this is not official, and they didn't say anything about it yet officially, but it looks like they're setting up Daniel Bryan in a five-way match for the IC strap. The IC strap, Frank. The very coveted, prestigious Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. So the guy who, last year won over and won the championship at WrestleMania, this year is probably going to be on the curtain jerker five-way match for the very coveted, prestigious IC Championship. Wow.
What a difference
that's
a year makes.
Right there. Wow.
What a difference a year makes. And that just really kind of shows me that WWE, that's how they view Daniel Bryan. And right now, Steve, as we're speaking, we have a thread going on our Facebook page about the Daniel Bryan not being in WrestleMania, not getting his moment. And some people have brought up and said, Daniel Bryan had his moment last year. And then somebody else said, kayfabe terminology, Daniel Bryan never lost that belt. Well, you know what I think about it, Steve?
True. Yeah.
I think that Daniel Bryan, yes, is super over, but I'm really tired of this yes shit. I've had enough of it.
But it's more entertaining than anything Roman Reigns does.
I have to disagree with you. I think they're
really?
Both I think they're both pretty boring.
I mean, the fans really get into Daniel Bryan. I mean, Roman Reigns is just kind of out
not
there.
The last few weeks. Not so much.
Well, I mean, look at the way they're pushing the guy. How can you get excited for Daniel Bryan? The guy was going to put over Double R at Fastlane. Everybody knew it.
Yeah, but...
How do you get excited for that?
Well, here's the thing. Look how many, go back to 2013 when Daniel Bryan, when this Authority storyline first started and Daniel Bryan was getting his ass beat every single week on TV, right? And then remember when he joined the Wyatt family for a minute? So all of that was pretty much boring storylines, but the people still stuck through it. The people still saw the light at the end of the tunnel. And pretty much it's like, okay, in my opinion, WWE they're moving on from Daniel Bryan now. Even though your opinion is he's so hot, my opinion is I think he's kind of cooled off.
He's cooled off, but yeah. I mean, he's still hot. Who else do they have? Who else is hot in the company? Everybody is like super cold in this company. Roman Reigns, really? That's the hottest star you got because you're pushing them down their throats. Who else is hot in this company? John Cena, Randy Orton, Wade Barrett, Dolph Ziggler. Are these guys hot? Nobody's hot as Daniel Bryan.
I think Randy Orton was kind of hot at the beginning of Monday Night Raw this past Monday.
I mean, you're talking about recent weeks, yeah. I mean, he went to Royal Rumble. He got kicked out, and that killed that Royal Rumble match. And people watched Fastlane. Everybody knew he was going to do the job to Double R there. How do you get excited about that? I mean, he worked his ass off to try to make Roman Reigns look good, and I didn't think it was that good of a main event. I mean, Daniel Bryan tried, but, I mean, Roman Reigns is just being pushed down our throats right now, Frank, and I'm just really sick of it.
Well, you know something? I agree with you, but the way for you not to be sick of it, Steve, is very simple. You just don't watch. Because that's where they're going with it. You know what I mean? That's whether we like it or not, and I don't like it because I don't really care for either guy, to be honest with you. I think Daniel Bryan is running his course. I think Roman Reigns hasn't done nothing to be in the spot that he's in. You know, he hasn't won, you know, he never held a singles championship. I can't remember one of the five-star classics he's had with anybody to all of a sudden have this spot that he's in. I mean, you know, take it, Daniel Bryan. You know, Daniel Bryan never lost a belt, and they acknowledge that, you know, but, hey, man, it is what it is. They made their choice of who they want to go with, and that's their call.
I mean, at the very minimum, Daniel Bryan should be in a three-way, and I'm not I don't think either one of us like three-ways or four-ways, but how can Daniel Bryan not be in the main event at WrestleMania?
Because Daniel Bryan didn't speak up backstage.
Well, I guess that's too bad for him and us, but... I mean, you know, last year it was Batista, Randy Orton was going to be the main event.
Right.
People weren't feeling that. I don't know. Are people out there feeling? Are you really out there feeling Lesnar versus Roman Reigns? Is that something that's really whetting your taste buds? I can't wait to watch WrestleMania. I know for me, I could really care less.
Well, you know something? Honestly, there's a reason why WrestleMania is going to be live on the WWE Network for 10 hours because that's pretty much where it's worth.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that in the previous podcast.
Right.
The luster of WrestleMania is gone, folks.
It's been gone.
There is no Undertaker streak on the line this year.
Yep.
There's nothing. The WWE Championship doesn't mean anything in a match like this where the fans are not getting the match they want. And Brock Lesnar, all due respect, he's a part-time wrestler now.
And you know something, while we're on the subject of WrestleMania, and you mentioned Undertaker streak not being on the line this year, I'm going to tell you the truth honestly, man. I'm not really feeling Bray Wyatt doing anything with Taker. You know, when I look at Taker and I look at the Undertaker, and I'm not talking about the pictures lately that we've seen of him with Michelle McCool. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way Undertaker left a year ago. And I guess they're going to try to play this into the storyline as how Undertaker is mortal. He's not immortal. You know, he's a mortal man now, you know, and how he lost to Brock Lesnar, lost the streak. Bray Wyatt took a lot of damage last year, you know, with that match, with those matches he had with John Cena. So, and then, you know, they topped it all off with him with that little kid at ringside, and that's how he got the win. I'm just not feeling it, man.
I'm not feeling it either, and I'm kind of with you. I mean, you talked about with Paul London on the last interview we did. The last couple of incarnations of Undertaker, he's getting older. The gimmicks are not as appealing as they used to be, the old dead man gimmick that he used to have. And now the luster is off him for WrestleMania, Frank. He's not going to wrestle Sting. The streak is not on the line. And really, Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt is just another match to me.
Well, I don't even think it's even – is that going to be a match or is that going to just be a fight?
Well, I hope it's a match.
I mean, you know, to me – hell,
this is WrestleMania, isn't it?
It is WrestleMania, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Taker has to come back and has to be a match. It could just be something where Bray Wyatt calls out the dead man. And what are you going to get at WrestleMania? Are you going to get the Undertaker or are you going to get Mark Calloway?
It's looking like Mark Calloway right now.
Yeah. So that's something out there. And I know people say, oh, what the hell is this guy talking about? It's pretty simple. Bray Wyatt says that the Undertaker is just a mortal. You know what I mean? He's just a man. Okay, so are we going to get the, what, Big Evil American Badass at WrestleMania? I mean, is he going to come out and just be who he is and not really be the gimmick? You know what I mean? I think that would be kind of interesting.
I kind of think, too, Frank, in the last couple of years, with Undertaker only working WrestleMania, and I know people will say, well, you know, it keeps him special. Like, Brock Lesnar only works on a limited amount of dates, and he seems more special when he does show up. But still, he's only working WrestleMania. In the last couple of years, it's pretty much – he's only really working WrestleMania. And now we're reading and hearing that they probably will keep Undertaker off television until WrestleMania. So it just seems like he's – I mean, can you say a part-time wrestler, Frank? He only works once a year. So, I mean, he has this match with Bray Wyatt, and he'll probably disappear for another year.
Yeah, and I think that Taker might have his farewell at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, well – Undertaker versus Sting next year?
It can happen. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you know, because here's the deal. I think the reason why they're going with Sting versus Trips is I think they want to see how well Sting can perform. And I think they know that Triple H can deliver Sting to a good match. A lot of people right now are saying WWE is not giving them what they want. I understand that. That's true. But I think that the door, you know, ran out for Sting versus Undertaker. It went out, like, hell, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah,
I mean, Sting's been in TNA for years, and people, you know, and I saw the other day where people were getting mad, you know, see that WWE made this video package on Monday, but they, you know, they have failed to acknowledge him being in TNA. Are you people insane? Do you really think that WWE is going to acknowledge TNA? They don't exist to them. They're not going to acknowledge his stint in TNA. As far as they know, when WCW shut down, Sting went home. And all of a sudden, now Sting shows up.
The dead brand?
Right.
People really think they're going to acknowledge TNA?
Exactly. I guess because WWE has acknowledged Ring of Honor in the past or whatever. Of course. Because Ring of Honor is on the same level of a WWE. And they were getting something out of a deal. By mentioning TNA, what exactly is WWE going to get out of it?
And people will say, what is TNA?
Exactly.
It's just like when, you know, we hear the stories of Christian and Kurt Angle get on airplanes and say, you know, how come you don't wrestle anymore?
Right.
You know, when they're in part of TNA. A lot of people don't even know what TNA is. So even if you would say TNA, people would be like, what's this TNA stuff? Tits and ass?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There was one point. Yeah, what the brainiac who thought of that name. Anyways, there was one point, you know, where people were actually chanting TNA at Raw. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Those days are long gone, though.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long gone.
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yep.
What we're getting in TNA now is, it's like light years from where they once were. I mean, TNA had a chance, and that's the thing. I mean, they had a chance to make an impact on this business. Another interesting play on words are impact.
Right.
But they really never made an impact, and... I don't, you know, honestly, I don't blame WWE for not giving them the rub. Why should they?
Yep.
And what did what did Sting's TNA run really mean? I mean, every year after year, it was like, okay, Sting, leave TNA, go to WWE. What's the point? He signs another year, limited dates, deal, $500,000, whatever it was. But I mean, I think we talked about this. Was that tarnishing his legacy? Because nobody's watching it.
Yep.
Nobody's watching TNA, so who cares if Sting is there or not?
And all those years that Sting spent at TNA when Sting was in a lot better shape than he is now, you know, when he wasn't wearing the T-shirt and all that, hey, that was all in TNA when he could have been over at WWE.
Yep.
And at the time, he felt they were going to make a mockery out of him. And I guess they made assurances to him that's not going to happen. And so far it has happened. The only thing that I don't like about what they've done with him, I just don't like this whole vigilante thing. I think it really sounds stupid.
They'd be stupid to bury the guy because, I mean, other than really Sting and Triple H, I mean, that's going to be like the, semi-main event?
That's the one of the bigger matches on the card.
So, I mean, other than that, what do you really have? I mean, you have Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. You have probably a five-way match for the IC strap. You have the Battle Royal again. What else do you really have for WrestleMania? That is one of the marquee matches on the show. In fact, that'll probably be the marquee match on the show. I mean, you have Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, but again, Frank says, what are we going to get between those two? We don't even know.
All right.
I don't think it's going to be a 20-minute match or 25-minute match. Maybe it is, but I don't know. Can Undertaker at his age go 25 minutes again?
I'm more concerned with Sting.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm more concerned. I'm not really concerned with Tech. I'm more concerned with Sting. But I'm having faith. Triple H is gonna have to be the ring general for that one. And I know he will. Triple H is gonna. We're kind of down right now because of seeing Sting do it. I think Triple H can pull it off. Absolutely.
True. Yeah.
I think that if Triple H didn't feel he could pull it off, he wouldn't be doing it.
Are we going to start getting those promos like Triple H did back in the day with Undertaker saying that the only person that could really wrestle Sting is him because they're the two biggest stars in the company now? Are we going to get those type of promos again?
Is he telling the truth?
Well, I mean, he's telling the truth, but is that getting your talent over?
It's not getting your talent over, but it's like, sometimes being truthful doesn't always get the talent over.
I just love the way they promote their talent here. They push them down your throat until they mean something.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think there's some within WWE that are kind of mad at Seth Rollins. I think that some people probably are mad at Seth Rollins. I mean, you were telling me, offline about what happened at SmackDown. So.
Yeah. We'll say it right here. And you may hear this show after it airs anyways, but at the SmackDown tapings this week, and actually, I think it actually aired in Canada already. I think they show it on Wednesday nights in Canada, but it was Eric Rowan, Ryback and Dolph Ziggler against Kane, Big Show, and Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins did the J-O-B to Ryback. And I was just kind of wondering, is that punishment maybe for all that social media fiasco with the nude pictures being posted? And you have to really wonder what role is Seth Rollins really going to play at WrestleMania as well?
That's a good question. And I'm still banking on a cash-in.
You think he's going to cash in and still win the title?
I think he is. Because here's the thing. We all know this past week about the rumors, from WWE on Raw about Brock Lesnar, And one of those rumors that were going around, Steve, was that somebody, I think it's Mets fan or something like that, from on Reddit, reported that Brock Lesnar apparently walked out of Monday Night Raw this past week and was very upset, supposedly now, because Roman Reigns failed a wellness policy. It was a wellness policy violation. He failed a drug test. And there's other rumors that are saying that Brock walked out because of a business disagreement with Vince McMahon. Now, here's what me and Steve were talking about offline, which makes sense. Since when does WWE acknowledge the sheets? Since when does WWE acknowledge the internet fans?
Rarely.
So if they're debunking this and saying this bull, I think there might be something to it. And I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, why am I not going to believe it? Why? Because WWE says that it's false? Here's the same company that took a wellness strike against, took it off Randy Orton. Like, it never happened. So am I now supposed to believe because they say Roman Reigns and, this whole thing with him violating the wellness policy is not true? I'm supposed to believe that? Absolutely not.
And let's be clear. This is alleged. This is not factual. We don't know. But I think it does say something for WWE to actually respond. And it wasn't, it wasn't Dave Meltzer. It wasn't Brian Alvarez. It wasn't some of the bigger reporters out there on the internet. It was a guy on Reddit, which is not the most credible source when it comes to wrestling information and news. So very odd that they would respond to that particular email or report. Because, his report was saying, very reliable sources were telling him this is what happened, that Brock left Raw. He was actually there. He was actually advertised to be there, even though he didn't appear on television, that Brock was very unhappy with what was going on. He didn't really want to work with Roman Reigns. He wanted to work with either Daniel Bryan or John Cena. Now, Dave Meltzer, on the other hand, is saying the opposite, that it's actually a contractual matter right now. They're still ironing things out. The perception is that Brock will still remain with WWE. I believe he's got a couple more dates left on the current deal. He's being advertised for the 3-9 Raw. I think it's in Pittsburgh, March the 9th, and then the 23rd. I think they're out there in Frank's World out there in Los Angeles. And then I believe they expect him to be at WrestleMania, of course, to work against Roman Reigns. And then the night after, Brock is being advertised for the Raw after WrestleMania. But everything seems to be up in the air because they don't really have anything solid in agreement. And I think it says a lot to me, Frank, that Brock Lesnar was there at the building, and yet he didn't appear on television. And he's only making so many appearances on his deals his current deal with WWE, that for him not to even appear on television as we're getting this closer to WrestleMania, I think that does speak volumes. I don't know if he's going to change his mind and I'll go back to UFC or MMA, but I thought it was very telling that the guy was actually in the building and yet he never appeared on Raw that night. That was very telling.
Well, it's very telling that something pissed him off.
Something was up.
Right, that the fact that he was really that angry that he left.
I mean, you can put the fire extinguisher out right now and blow it, but something's up here. There is some smoke here. I don't know exactly what it is,
right?
But something's going on here. And maybe, to me, Frank, if Roman Reigns either doesn't win the championship or after WrestleMania is de-pushed a bit, perhaps he's going to be punished for what happened with the wellness policy. If he did indeed fail a wellness policy test, I mean, you're saying it there, Frank. Do we believe the WWE? I mean, we just had on Paul London. He's talking about what's going on behind the scenes. We had Ricardo Rodriguez. The guy was tested 3 times in a week.
Right.
Ricardo, the guy was barely on television. He's getting tested 3 times a week. Do I think Ryback is being tested 3 times a week? Or has ever been tested 3 times a week? Or ever tested 3 times in a month? Or 3 times in a 6-month period? I mean, you have to really question. This is something I've talked about in the previous podcast, Frank. They've got to get serious about this wellness policy. They need to have a meeting and really establish what is this wellness policy, who's being tested, who's not being tested, why that is. Is Triple H considered talent? Is he being tested? We never hear about that. So they need to be very clear on what is a strike, what's not a strike, what can get you in trouble, what can't get you in trouble. And, I mean, there's just so much gray area with this wellness policy that in the future, if they don't get this ironed out and more people get hurt, and I'm not saying, you know, the lawsuit with CM Punk is frivolous or not, but they have to be very clear on what the wellness policy is, who it applies to, and they have to be very consistent, because if they're not consistent, Frank, that kills the whole policy. That's my whole argument right now against the policy, is there's just no consistency. The rules apply for this guy, but not this guy. The rules apply for this guy, but not this guy. So until they get that all ironed out, Frank, there is some very big question marks concerning that wellness policy.
Well, and it's also, when you look at the wellness policy and the fact that certain guys are tested and certain guys aren't, it's an integrity issue there, you know what I mean? So they need to, like you said, they need to figure that out. Absolutely. And if Roman Reigns doesn't win, if Roman Reigns wins a belt, and say Seth Rollins cashes in Money in the Bank, then you got to know, okay, something happened here. And if he fails to get it back, something happened there, and he's being punished for it. And this guy, Mets fan, I believe his name, Mets fan for life or something like that, on Reddit, he's broken lots of stories before that have actually come out that they were true. So I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, Dave Meltzer is another one that's saying, oh, maybe, you know, it has something to do with the contract. That could be, but who's to say that what's going on also as far as the rumor with Roman Reigns, that that's not true as well?
I don't, to me, and everything I've read and talked to, and we've done interviews on this podcast, I don't think the talent understands what the wellness policy is. I mean, I'm sure they understand what it's for. I don't know I guess there is on the corporate website, but there needs to be separate, very distinct rules established for this wellness policy.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking back to what last year with the birth of the WWE Network and nobody really knowing how this affects the pay. And I think this applies to the same thing with the wellness policy. Is, yeah, maybe I kind of understand, you know, this guy gets random testing, maybe this guy. But in the whole big scope of things, I really don't understand exactly what the wellness policy is, who it applies to, exactly how the strikes work. And until they do that, and again, I think back to a lot of talent, I think there's a lot of talent that still don't understand the payout structure as it relates to the WWE Network. We had Brodus Clay on, and he was released months after the WWE Network. I think he was released, in the summer?
Yeah.
It was like the middle of the year. When he left the company, and that was, maybe 6 months after the network was launched, he still didn't know how that affected his pay. So if that's a gray area, I can see where the wellness policy is a gray area. And, you know, WWE has to get serious about some of this stuff and really be crystal clear about things. Otherwise, there's so many double standards. I mean, you've got, you know, Triple H talking about, you know, China's not going to get any because if you look up her name on the internet, yet, you know, sooner or later, Sean Waltman's going to get in. And his 8-year-old kid looks up Sean Waltman or Xbox. she's going to find the same thing. So they have to get really serious about all this double standards in the company and this hypocrisy, because it's piling up, Frank.
Well, you know something, and on top of that, okay, well, to say that, if you look up Shawn Michaels, you Google him, what are you going to find? You're going to find that Shawn Michaels was a drug addict. You're going to find that he was in Playgirl magazine. Same thing.
True. And we talked about – I mean, we already talked about Sonny. Right. Sonny's in the Hall of Fame. So they have to be consistent on these things. This hypocrisy in this company now is growing leaps and bounds, and they have to – they need to have a meeting with the talent and really establish what's going on with the pay structure. If they haven't done it, maybe they have now done it. But I know a lot of people as of months ago still didn't exactly know what was going on with the pay. They need to know what's going on with the pay. They definitely need to know what's going on with this wellness policy. And they just need to be consistent about it and not just – this guy's suspended, this guy's not suspended. I mean, most of the suspensions, if you look over the course of time, Frank, are lower card guys.
Right.
They'll suspend a lower card guy to say, yeah, we still do this. This guy's suspended. Like Ricardo, we'll send him home. But, I mean, honestly, none of the bigger guys ever have any violations. Are they ever tested on any consistent basis? And as far as I know, Frank, they're not. That's the problem with WWE wellness policy.
And that's why I said that they have an integrity issue when it comes to their policy.
And it's really interesting. They respond to this Met fan, and he's not even a credible reporter. And yet it's dealing with the wellness policy. So it's interesting. I don't know the inside baseball. I wish I did. But it's very interesting how they respond to that. And other reports they have not responded to. So, but I think it will be very telling after WrestleMania, the direction they go with Roman Reigns. That scenario you were talking about with Reigns winning and Seth Rollins cashing in the Money in the Bank, if that's what happens, that could have been the plan all along. I don't think that has any direct effect with either the Twitter scandal with Rollins or possibly what happens with Roman Reigns. That could have been the plan all along.
Oh, I think it is the plan all along. I think even if Daniel Bryan had been inserted into the main event and Daniel Bryan had been, had won that championship and had his moment, well, the plan was always, in my opinion, for Seth Rollins to come out and ruin that moment. So there's a reason why they've kept the Money in the Bank briefcase on this guy this entire time. There's going to be a successful cash, and in my opinion, it's going to happen at WrestleMania.
That is the plan. If that continues to be the plan, that's their plan.
Yep.
They're not going to change it because Roman Reigns' wellness policy or the Twitter fiasco with Seth Rollins. That's the plan, and that probably should be if that is the plan they have carved out over the course of time. I mean, Frank, over the years, they used to have the WrestleMania main events figured out the next year.
Yep.
So if it always been the booking plan for months now that Roman Reigns gets the title shot, I mean, they've been pushing him like hotcakes since the fall. We know he's going to get that WrestleMania main event that, as you said, the briefcase has been held all this time by Seth Rollins, that Seth Rollins is going to cash it in at WrestleMania. They shouldn't change it. That's what they planned. And, Frank, with booking is a lot of times you do the finish and then you backbook and try to get to that point. And if that's the plan, let's still do it. And that's where they should do it at WrestleMania as well.
Well, I think that's always been the plan. I mean, I think even going back to the Shield, that was the plan. He was the guy. Now, I don't necessarily know if that was the plan I always thought that Ambrose was going to be the heel. And Rollins would have been the face. And you're talking about Dean Ambrose, he's really cooled off a lot, big
yes.
time, from what he was. And Wade Barrett is just a lost cause, man. You know, this Bad News Barrett thing just ain't working.
You know, I watch WWE sporadically,
the
weekly television. It's on Hulu, and I see Raw and SmackDown here and there. But this angle they did where Ambrose forced Wade Barrett to sign the contract?
Yes. That was
corny.
Yeah, it was corny. It was stupid. It was cringe-worthy television. It sucked.
Oh, Wade Barrett will be knocked out, and he's being forced, but with a handcuff, to sign this contract so that he gets his title shot. I mean,
and you know
that's
what?
That's creative.
That sucks because you look at Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose was hot,
yes.
But he took all those losses to Seth Rollins. And then took a bunch of losses to Bray Wyatt, cooled him off. And also, you look at Wade Barrett, man. Wade Barrett used to be the leader of the Nexus, okay? Nexus was supposed to be the next big faction. It was WWE's answer to the NWO. And look how they killed it. The guy, when he was part of the Nexus, the guy should have been a World Heavyweight Champion. Never happened because Cena was the cash cow. Cena made the choice at SummerSlam 2010. Hey, I'm going to do that spot outside and beat the Nexus at the end. Completely killed the Nexus, completely killed Wade Barrett all in one night. And he's never recovered. They did the core with Wade Barrett, and it went nowhere. Wade Barrett has been in the limbo as the Intercontinental Champion I don't know how many times. And the bad news, Barrett gimmick had potential, and it's just nothing now. I mean, the guy comes out, no reaction. He comes out with that stupid music. It's just, it's all bad, man. I feel bad for him, and I feel bad for Ambrose. Because you have two guys here that really the fans don't really care about.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, on another front, maybe some double standards here, Stephanie McMahon was on Twitter, and she thanked Patty Arquette for having the courage to fight for women's rights on such a grand platform. And then she had the hashtag, use your voice. She also pointed out, Stephanie McMahon, I'm referring to, your female wrestlers have a record of selling merchandise and have starred in some of the highest rated segments on the show. Well, AJ Lee responded to that and says, yet they receive a fraction of their wages and screen time is a lot less than the male counterparts. And Stephanie McMahon went on to thank AJ Lee for speaking out, which they must have loved that back at corporate.
Right.
That AJ Lee would go on a public platform like Twitter. That's something they push all the time. Social media, Facebook, Twitter. That AJ Lee just chose that platform to respond to Stephanie McMahon, and I think made Stephanie McMahon look pretty bad in this case, because here she is talking about, you know, fighting for the equal pay and equal rights for women workers out there, and yet at the same time, we know, Frank, that women don't get paid anywhere near what some of the top-paid WWE superstars. In fact, I can't really remember any women really making a ton of money. I'm sure Trish, maybe back in her day, got paid pretty well, but interesting that AJ Lee would point out this type of maybe hypocrisy to her on a public platform. But then again, you know, AJ Lee is working for a company that is actually suing her husband, so maybe you can put one and one together here.
Well, to me personally, I think AJ is starting to try to ruffle the feathers there so they can release her from her contract. That's what I think. But AJ had a point there.
You know, honestly, Frank, if she doesn't want to work for the company, maybe she should just go to the bosses and say, I think it's kind of a conflict of interest. I'm working
Absolutely.
For a company that's suing my husband. Why don't you just let me go home? Let me out of my deal. I mean, I agree with you. Maybe she's trying to lobby publicly to get released, but maybe she just should just go into the office and say, you know what, Vince, I don't feel like I should work here anymore. You're suing CM Punk, my husband. Just let me go home.
I totally agree with that. You know, I think that that's what this is all about. I think that it's a big conflict of interest. And her husband's probably saying, you know what? Now these bastards have sued me for $1 million. Not only me, but sued my friend. So you need to make a decision as to what you want to do. Because you already know that when AJ comes back, she's going to get buried. And she's another one, man, that's cooled off entirely from what she was. I mean, there was at one point AJ Lee was probably one of the biggest ratings grabbers, one of the biggest pops of the night. Not anymore.
Well, WWE has a knack of cooling off their hottest talent pretty quick.
Yeah, but to cool off the whole roster? I mean, my God.
I mean, how hot was Dolph Ziggler at times? They push him down the ladder, right?
Yep.
Daniel Bryan was hot. They push him down the ladder. You're talking about Paige being pushed down the ladder. I mean, this happens from time to time where somebody gets hot, and they're not ready for him to be hot or for her to be hot, and they're like, I'm pushing this guy, I don't care what the fans want. I mean, Vince McMahon tweeted that, yeah, we're listening, so stay tuned. Like, we're going to listen to what AJ Lee has to say about the Divas, that they're some of the higher-ranked segments and that they sell a lot of merchandise. So maybe you should tune into Raw this week, and maybe the women would be pushed a little more prominently on the show. I mean, come on. Sure. Really? Again, Vince, are you listening to the fans? Do you really think the fans want Roman Reigns in the main event at WrestleMania? No.
I don't think Vince cares what you want. Vince is going to do what he wants to do. The best way to affect McMahon and get to him is to affect his pocketbook. And you can't affect
economic
his pocketbook.
Economic boycott.
Exactly, but you can't have an economic, you know, boycott are affecting his pocketbook when he's constantly getting sellouts everywhere they go.
True.
When people are constantly buying the merchandise. You people, yep. You know, always say, everybody said, oh, we're sick and tired of John Cena. Stop buying the damn guy's merchandise then. And show
buy
them,
a GRP
show
shirt.
Exactly. Buy a GRP shirt. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Type in Gurwick. Buy a GRP shirt for $19.99. Go representing. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like WWE, then don't buy the network. Don't buy the video games. Don't buy the merchandise. Don't buy the DVDs. It's very simple. That's the way to affect Vince. That's when Vince will listen to you.
Yes.
But Vince ain't going to listen to you if you keep watching Raw every week. He ain't going to listen to you if you keep buying the merch because he's like, oh, these people really like what we're doing. As many people that come out every single week, and we do it as well, but
yes.
You come out and criticize WWE, okay, every single week. You criticize them. You still watch Raw.
Well, I don't, but yeah,
well,
I know what you're saying.
I don't either. I watch it very sporadically. You know, I watch it on DVR. You know, later on, if there's nothing on TV and I'm bored, I'll watch Raw. Yeah, I do it. But here's the thing. You can't complain if you are out there shilling money to these people or if you're out there watching Raw every single week, every Monday night, if you are in front of your TV for 3 hours straight watching Raw. I mean, I tried to do it when we were doing the Blog Talk Radio deal. I couldn't do it. This show sucks.
How does anybody sit through 3 hours of Raw?
I don't even know how you can sit through a three-hour pay-per-view.
Well, true.
I mean, it's complete garbage, and now you got WrestleMania coming up. And that's going to be 4 hours. And it's like, my God. And it's like, why in the hell would they bring back that Andre Battle Royal when we just had the Royal Rumble? Makes no damn sense.
Because they have nothing else at WrestleMania. They have to come up with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. They have nothing else.
Yeah, and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Who gives a shit about Andre the Giant? I'm just saying, who gives a shit about Andre the Giant? You know, Hogan was putting that over last year in the ring about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, brother. You can hear crickets in the crowd. You can hear a pin
drop.
Well,
I'll tell you what, Frank. If they don't know who Randy Savage is when they announce his name for the Hall of Fame, if they don't know who DDP is, yeah, who the hell is Andre the Giant?
Exactly.
WrestleMania 3. How long ago was that now?
Right. I mean, apparently it was recently because, you know, Hogan at the Superdome, he called it the Silverdome.
Before 567,000 fans at the Silverdome, and Andre the Giant weighed how much now, 20 tons?
Yeah, something like that.
I totally agree, man. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, what a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. It's just a way to get – I mean, because here's the thing. Before – I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but before WrestleMania, you remember every single year, I think they've always done a Battle Royal before the show. So all they've done is taken that shitty Battle Royal – that they would do before the show and put it on the show. That's all they're doing. And I know it's a way to get people on TV or whatever, but hey, I got an idea. How about creating compelling storylines? How about making talent and then putting them on the damn pay-per-view in a match that means something? And I just have a bunch of J-Bros out there in one big battle royal that don't mean nothing. Like, it meant nothing last year. It's like the curse of death of your career. Look at Cesaro. Cesaro wins the battle royal last year. Then Cesaro gets with Paul Heyman. And then Cesaro gets buried. And Cesaro, all of a sudden, now people are like, oh, well, finally, WWE's listening. They put a title on him. Who cares about the tag belts? Those penny belts, those ugly belts mean nothing. And it's not it's not Frank D coming up here and being negative. It's just I'm stating fact. You have two tag teams in there, the Usos and Tyson against Cesaro. When they're done working together, maybe you'll do something with the Ascension. But you can't do anything with the Ascension because the Ascension went down this past week to the PTV. Primetime Players are back. Who cares? You got the New Day out there. Who cares?
So Mark Henry cares.
You got Mark Henry
cares.
Out there. Who cares? Big
Kane,
Flow.
Cares.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, really, man, this is what you got. This is what you're looking for every week to see if it's WWE superstars, and you got the Big Flow out there who has overstayed his welcome. You got corporate Kane, which is stale. I mean, my God, man.
You got the guy you're pushing down our throats doing Looney Tune promos?
All of a sudden, he was doing Looney Tune promos, and all of a sudden now. We're supposed to take him seriously now. believe that. That's worse than Ronnie Coons out there saying, whoop, there it is. Come on, man.
What's up, Doc?
Right.
You got a storyline where a guy is forcing the champion to sign his contract, handcuffed to the ring.
Right.
I mean, this is just priceless stuff, man. You know, Frank, I guess in some ways I did take a stance by getting rid of my cable. I will admit right now, I do have the network. January was the Royal Rumble. I've always been a fan of the Royal Rumble. February I kept it because they were doing the trips and Austin podcast. But, I mean, Fastlane was not worth anything to me. I mean, it was just another show. I mean, they do so many shows with Raw and SmackDown, NXT, and all, you know, superstars that you sit down and watch a pay-per-view, it's just another show to me. And that's what – I can't say Fastlane was bad, but it was just another show. Nothing gripped me. I mean, and that crowd. Talk about that. What's up with that crowd, Frank? Memphis crowd for that pay-per-view, they couldn't care less about pretty much anything
can
on that
you
show.
Care, could, I mean, really, honestly, do you blame the fans?
No, I don't.
I
absolutely
mean,
not.
Do you blame those fans? Look at the garbage they have to sit through.
But then again, they paid for the ticket. I didn't.
They paid for the ticket without thinking maybe they thought they were going to get a, you know, they thought they were going to get a pretty decent show.
Based on anything the Whip has done in the last time, how do you expect to go to a Raw or a pay-per-view and expect a really good show anymore? I mean, you have to lower your expectations so far to make it seem like it was an average show anymore.
You know, just NXT is the best thing they got going, but...
And nobody watches it.
pretty much.
I mean, honestly, you know, I remember when WWE was putting out the most watched shows on the network? They don't even do that anymore.
No, they don't.
I would think NXT is one of the top shows, but you think if it was doing really, really, really well, Frank, they'd be touting it, wouldn't they?
Well, they like to tout a lot of things. I don't know. I mean, they used to tout the network, but I don't know what happened with that. I mean, I know at one point one of the highest shows that they had on there was people were watching Nitro, and then NXT came in second, and then I think third was like maybe main event. So,
you know, honestly, Frank, I'm thinking back to the Hotline days and some of the frustration we had at the Hotline. And Hotline days was 2004, 2005. Here we are 10 years later. And, you know, a lot of fans have left. You know, you're talking about you need economic boycott. Don't go to the shows. Don't buy the T-shirts. Don't buy the video games. A lot of people have, Frank. A lot of people are gone.
Yeah.
And now, again, if today in 2015, you're not digging John Cena, you're not digging Double R, you're not digging Randy Orton and Ryback and the way they used Dolph Ziggler, et cetera, then, as Frank said, don't go to the show. Don't plunk down. What's a house show now? $35 to go see a show live?
Something like that. The highest ticket is like $100 and something.
Yeah, I mean, you take your wife and your kids, or you take you know your friends or your girlfriend. I mean, that's an expensive night.
Yep.
You could go out to eat. You get a snack. You get your merchandise or whatever. I mean, that's a lot of money. Don't go to the shows. Don't go to the pay-per-views. Don't order the network. Don't order your WWE 2K15 games, etc. That is the only way Vince is going to learn. And if Vince keeps touting that he's got a million subscribers, and certainly Frank and I both agree that in the future they're going to have more subscribers because they're reaching further into the world in different areas and different markets. It's going to get higher. This March is, you know, it's lackluster, Frank. It's WrestleMania month, so they're going to sell a lot of subscriptions. Because people want to see WrestleMania, and heck, you can watch it for $9.99, even though pretty well established it's not the same WrestleMania we saw, you know, years ago. But still, you have to take a stand with this. And I think to some degree we've seen the ratings numbers decline over the years, because I, of course, follow the ratings numbers pretty closely at Gerwick.net. You can get a breakdown of the ratings all the way back to 1998. But, you know, to make the big changes, as Frank has said, you have to take a stand and not order the WWE stuff. And it's hard for me to say that, Frank, because certainly I benefit by WWE doing well. The better WWE does, the better TNA does, the better Ring of Honor does, New Japan, that does affect me. That probably affects our podcast as well. We probably would have more listeners out there. In fact, I know we would. Look at all the listeners we had back in the Hotline days.
Yep.
We had a great following back in the Hotline. That was a hotline where you called a number on your cell phone or on your regular phone. Those old landlines people would call, and we would get calls galore of people leaving us voicemail messages from all over the place. Some people would leave 10-minute messages on our voicemail account. You know, today is there's just not that many wrestling fans as there once was. I see a decline myself with the website. You know, I think one of my website's one of the better websites out there. But, yeah, I've seen a decline over the years. People are tired of professional wrestling or sports entertainment or whatever you want to call it because we're not getting what we want. You know, we're tired of these hokey storylines. We're tired of these hokey characters, this reality television, whatever trips want to call it. I mean, you can call it what you want. At the end of the day, it's crap.
I'm calling for the entertaining era.
And until you are serious about making changes, again, don't buy the stuff. Don't buy their stuff. Buy our stuff.
Right.
I mean, you can get a much better T-shirt for $19.99. The old classic Raw, Frank, when it was good, that old classic Raw style, the old classic WCW Nitro shirt or the NWO style shirt. Those are better shirts than what you're getting in the WWE anyway. So, you know, support us. We're trying to entertain you and put on a good product. And I think, unlike WWE, Frank, we're trying to give you a good product. We try to entertain you. We try to say some things that maybe make you think about things a little bit differently, different perspective. You don't have to agree with everything Frank and I say. You know, but hopefully you listen to our podcast and you think, oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting take on that. Or, wow, they have this guy. They have Vince Russo on. They have Teddy Long on. They have Terry on. Wow, you know, Paul London for three parts. Eric Bischoff, et cetera, that we try to bring a different product and we try to entertain. And unlike WWE, Frank, where, you know, I think they just want to do what they want to do. And, again, until you guys say you're tired of this crap, it'll be status quo and it'll be the same crap another day.
And it's going to be the same shit every single week.
Yep. You know, you out there are the ones that make a difference. And if you're willing to make changes, if you really want WWE to change, I think it can happen. But right now, if as you said, if what, 13,000 people go to see Fastlane, if Full House for WrestleMania, the Raws most week are pretty much sold out. The European tours are sold out. People are million subscribers to the network. Things look rosy from Vince's side, so why change anything?
Exactly. Everything looks good on his side. He's getting his money, and people are coming to the shows in droves, and you want to meet the wrestlers, and you're buying the replica belts and all that type of stuff, so you're giving Vince what he wants to. Now, hey, well, let me say something right quick, because people who follow Frank D on Facebook knows that Frank D, you know, is buying the big gold belt. Yes, I'm doing that. But I'm not buying it from WWE. So I'm not putting any money in Vince's pockets.
What exactly do you do with these replica belts anyways?
You know, Steve, honestly, I'm getting one because I have a collection at my house. I'm a big horror movie buff. So I have one wall that's dedicated to the Halloween franchise. So, and then I have another wall that just has wrestling T-shirts. I'm going to put the big gold belt right in the middle on the mantle.
You know, we tell it like it is on this podcast, right?
Right.
And you know, it's your prerogative. It's a free country. If you want to spend your money on a replica belt, go for it.
Yep.
But when I see some of these wrestling fans at wrestling shows or conventions or public appearances that wrestlers make, and they have four belts,
right,
or five belts. They have two belts around their waist, and they have one over either shoulder, and they're trying to carry another one.
Yeah.
That looks pretty bad.
You know,
that might be the definition of a mark right there.
That is a mark. See, and I was going to get to that. See, you know, I'm buying the big gold belt because I've always been a fan of that, but I think that's like probably the best-looking belt out there outside of the Randy Savage Intercontinental belt that he wore and outside of the old Winged Eagle WWE title from the 80s. Those are my top three belts. So I'm going to get one finally. And it's no different than like when I was a kid and I had the old foam championship belts. But like you just said there, man, when you see a guy carrying in two big golds and he has a WWE title around his waist and then he has another one around his ankles, that's a little too much. It's like Mr. T with all that damn gold back in the day. It's like, it's just too much. That's the mark. You know what? You know, if a wrestler is at a convention, I'll use the name Virgil Caesar. Well, Virgil's going to say, you know what? Let me go over here and touch this guy. Let me go over here and get it right. Hey, you want to take a picture, bro? Yeah, $20.
Let me sign your belt.
Exactly. Let me sign that. Let me see that belt, man. Oh, hey, give me that Sharpie. Put my autograph on it. Oh, that's going to cost you about $40. Because I signed it.
That's going to increase the value of your belt if Virgil signs it.
Exactly. we're not knocking Virgil.
No, of course not.
I have a problem with Virgil. The brother's just trying to get his money.
The guy's trying to make a living.
Exactly, trying to get his money. I don't know what the hell could happen to all that money he made in WCW, but hey, what do I know?
That's the bigger question. What happened to the money he did make?
What happened to a lot of the guys' money that they made in WCW? I'm talking about Virgil. I'm talking about, you know, Buffy Bagwell and all these different guys. I mean, why did Buff Bagwell become a male prostitute? Seriously.
I mean, you know, going back to Virgil real quick, I mean, we talk about the Ted DiBiase interview we just did. He didn't party. He didn't drink. He wasn't into women. Where did all that money go?
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah. That it is sad. You know, when I see pictures of him at a train station that says, you know, WWE superstar Virgil, that's pretty sad to me, Frank. It's you had a life span in wrestling, and you made your money. You had a successful run. The Million Dollar Man was one of the most over superstars they ever had in the WWF. And today, you know, Ted said it on the interview. He certainly made his money, too. Where is all that money? And it's sad to see a guy like Virgil, you know, at the train station or at the airport saying, hey, you know, I'll sign your autograph for $20. That's sad.
Yeah, well, you know, it should happen.
But it's better than winning a government handout, I guess. You know, at least he's trying to make money.
True.
Any way you can. Yeah. So I at least applaud him for that. But it's sad when I see those pictures. What is it, Lonely Virgil, they call it?
Lonely Virgil, that's right.
Lonely Virgil. Too bad.
That's a shame. We should ask the listeners here at the GRP. Would you guys like us to do an interview with Virgil? And I can go and ask him about where he spent all his money. We can do that.
Would you like for us to have Virgil as a guest on the GRP?
Yeah. I don't hear anybody.
I don't know. I'm not even sure you'd hear Ted DiBiase say anything. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks, but then my thing about it is, man, is that, hey, the guy had a career.
Yeah.
He was in WCW. He was part of one of the biggest factions in the history of the business. He was part of that faction in the early stages of it. So, I don't know. But I kind of lost, you know, with him, it kind of went out the door when he became, Curly Bill or whatever it was, or Shane or something like that. He was part of West Texas Rednecks back in the day.
I hate rap.
All right. So he was part of
rap.
He was on that gimmick.
Is crap.
Yeah, I don't know if Wayne May would agree with you on that one. He was just one of those things where the guy didn't save his money, or he made some bad investments, and it happens.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, probably on the surface you'd say, I don't want to hear Virgil, don't get him on. But on the flip side, as you said, Frank, the guy would probably have some interesting stories.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting perspectives on things. The guy was around when wrestling was booming at one time, that the Million Dollar Man was going everywhere, making the money, showing up on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. If you remember that, the Robin Leach show
back in
the day. The guy was everywhere. So, he was on, what, Arsenio Hall or one of those sit-down interviews he did back in the day. So he would have some very interesting stories. WCW days, NWO, all that. So I can see one point people saying, I don't want to hear Virgil. Another point I'd say, you know what, he might have some very interesting perspectives on things out there. So let's throw it out there. You know, if nothing else, give us your 2 cents and tell us who you really want on this show. I mean, my gosh, Frank, we've had some of the heavyweights on this show. We've had WWE Hall of Famers. We've had divas that were huge in the Attitude Era. We had the writer of the Attitude Era, Vince Russo. Eric Bischoff, the guy who almost single-handedly took down the WWF. You know, who is it that you want to listen to out there? And I guess the other thing would be, do you want us to continue to do interviews? That's another interesting perspective on things. I tell you, Frank, from my perspective, you know, we do this show. And there's not a lot to talk about. Wrestling's boring. To me, the news cycles are pretty much boring. This week we had a little bit of a caveat because this guy says that Roman Reigns failed a wellness policy test.
Right.
We've got something to talk about this week, okay? But most weeks, I mean, Frank, we come out and do the show on a Monday or a Tuesday. We try to figure out things to talk about. Pay-per-views don't seem special anymore. The Raws are unwatchable. What is it that you want us to talk about? And that's where I like to separate and have on a special guest that can bring a different perspective. I loved the Paul London interview. Whether or not you're a Paul London fan or not, he's a very interesting guy. And he speaks his mind. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. He's not afraid about burning bridges. So it's a different perspective on things. And did I agree with everything Paul London said? Of course not. I don't agree with anybody. Any of the guests we've had, I've never agreed with 100% what they say. Just like I'm sure a lot of people listen to our show, they don't agree with 100% what we say either. But yet, it's a different perspective. So I like doing the interviews, and I like having on a special guest and picking their brains. And, you know, some interviews are good. Some interviews are really good. Some interviews we kind of, you know, at the end we kind of shake our heads and scratch our heads a little bit. But, you know, do you want us to continuously do interviews? And I vote for yes, Frank, because, again, you know, we sit here on a Monday or a Tuesday or whatever day it is, and we're trying to figure out what should we talk about today? What's going on in wrestling? What's going on with the Whip? What's going on with the Dead Brand? You know, a lot of weeks there isn't much to say.
And you know something? I agree with you to that aspect that interviews are cool, but you know this for yourself, Steve. If there's a talent on here that I'm not really interested in, I'm not really going to be filming that interview. And sometimes we run into those situations. Sometimes we're like, oh, we're going to interview this guy. I'm really not filming it. Maybe you want to do it on your own. If I'm not filming it, people will know that I'm not filming it. You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what, Frank. We've had people on that when we saw the name, we probably thought, eh, okay, let's do it. And then it turns out to be a great interview.
Right.
And there's sometimes when we've got a name, we're like, oh, this is going to be a great interview. And it's like, eh.
The interview sucks.
All right, it sucked. I mean, you never know until you get somebody on the show what they're going to say.
Right, and I'm pretty open. You know, most of the times I'm pretty open about people, and even if I, you know, am not really a fan of that person, I'll figure some things to say to keep it going. But that's what we talk about when we talk about entertaining you. You know, we're bringing on these guests. So if you want to, you know, show the Gerwick Report podcast and GRP crew that you appreciate what we do, hey, man. Spread the word about the podcast. Let your friends know about it. You know what I'm saying? And we're easy to find. Go to gurry.net. You can listen to the archived podcast that we've already done. You know, you can go, you know, buy a shirt, as we mentioned before, prowrestlingtees.com. Just type in Gurick in the store, and you'll see our Pro Wrestling Tees store that we have up there. Three designs up there right now.
Yo, what's up out there? This is Frank D. of the Gurwick Report Podcast, the GRP. If you want to represent the GRP and you want to show your support for us, go to ProWrestlingTees.com, type in Gurwick in the search bar, and go to our official store, and you can check out our three designs right now. All t-shirts are $19.99 plus shipping and handling. We got a cool Nitro-style GRP shirt. We got a cool Raw-style GRP shirt. And a black and white GRP NWO-style shirt is just too sweet. You can be wearing the official t-shirt right now. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com, type in Gurwick in the search bar, and thank you for your continued support of the Gurwick Report Podcast.
And also audibletrial.com/Gurwick.net is another way to show your support to the GRP.
This is Frank D. of the Gurwick Report Podcast. Are you at home right now, bored out of your mind, nothing on TV, nothing to do? How about indulging yourself in an audiobook today? Go to audibletrial.com/Gurwick.net. That's audibletrial.com/GERWECK.net. Go up there, get your free audiobook. You get to keep it even if you don't keep the service. It's a win-win situation. So that's audibletrial.com/Gurwick.net. Over 150,000 titles to choose from. They have fiction books up there, non-fiction books. They have professional wrestling books. Everything is up there. You name it, they got it. audibletrial.com/GERWECK.net. Gurwick.net. Check it out today. And thank you for your continued support of the Gurwick Report Podcast.
And as long as you guys keep showing us support, we'll keep putting out podcasts and keep, you know, bringing on guests that you want to hear from. And, you know, we'll continue to do the interactive deal on Facebook. I love the Facebook group. I love being interactive with the listeners out there. It's actually pretty cool.
You know, too, as our style is, we tell it like it is. And with what we bring to the table, that our style does exclude a lot of people from being on the show.
Yep.
And there are talents that we reached out to that won't do the show, probably because of questions we ask. If that's the way it is, you know, we're not going to compromise to get somebody on the show.
Yep.
I don't want to sit with somebody for 60 minutes and be bored out of bored to tears.
Right.
Because we're not saying anything. We're just going through the motions here. Okay, Paul London was real.
Yep.
He brought it to the table.
Yep.
Stevie Richards was real. He brought it to the table. And that's the kind of interviews I want. I think Terry brought it to the table, too, when she's talking about Benoit and Shane McMahon out there. I think she kept it real, too. That's what I want. In fact, you know, when I talk to Terry offline, she's like, you know, ask me some questions that I won't get in other interviews. I think part of the reason some of the guys don't want to do interviews is that they hear the same interview questions over and over. How'd you break in the business? What was going through your mind when this was happening? You know, it's like over and over and over. And we try to bring a different perspective to it, to an interview. We try to ask the questions that we think you would want to ask the talent. And I know we got kind of hammered a little bit on the Eric Bischoff interview because we didn't ask about TNA. Well, that was his call. We didn't ask him any TNA questions because he didn't want to talk about TNA. But you know what? I would like to talk to Eric Bischoff again. And if I do it again, and I think he pretty much agreed to do it again, we got to talk about TNA.
Yeah,
it's part of his career.
Yeah,
it's
can't
relevant.
Exclude that. You know, and a lot, you know, like you said, we got a lot of flack about that. And people got to understand something. When you're dealing with talent, you know, you do an interview on them, it's like, okay, well, we appreciate them coming on the show to do the interview. And sometimes you got to just respect what they're saying. And I usually ask them ahead of time, is there anything that you don't want to speak about? And they'll tell me that. And Eric was pretty upfront. He just didn't want to talk about TNA.
Right.
And we respected that issue. And I thought it was a pretty good interview. A lot of things maybe I didn't, you know, I forgot to ask him at the time. But I'm pretty sure that on the second go around, the questions will be, you know, questions will be asked that we didn't ask them this time. You know, one of the things that people wanted to know when it came to the Ted DiBiase interview was about the Ultimate Warrior. Did he, you know, Ted, and I put Ted on the spot. And Ted was honest, open and honest about it. And that's what we, you know, try to do here. We don't want to do interviews with people that you got to send them the questions ahead of time so they can get conditioned to it and all that. No. We don't want to. I like to catch people off guard with what I'm going to ask them because that's the way you get a true answer with it. You ask, if you have an interview with a talent and the talent wants another question, it's 24 hours before the interview, it's so they can go over it and see what you're going to ask them. And, okay, well, don't ask me this, don't ask me about that. We don't do that on GRP. That's not the way we roll. We ask you what we want to ask you, and that's just how it goes. And if you don't want to do it, then you don't have to do it.
Right. In fact, I'd rather have a talent, if he's not willing to say anything, say I respectfully would pass on an interview request right now. Because don't waste our time.
Yep.
Don't come on here for 60 minutes and just waste our time, waste your time, the listener out there, because we want to bring something entertaining. We know there's a ton of interviews out there on the internet now, and I think a lot of that is ruining it for guys like us that want to do a legitimate interview and ask legitimate questions, and they do all these different shows, and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do another interview like that. You know, these 13-year-old kids in the basement doing these podcasts.
And, you know, the thing about it is, and you know, I'm just going to put it out there right now without mentioning any names. But the reason why we're kind of going on this rant right now as it relates to interviews is because I'm not going to mention the talent's name because I'm still a fan of the talent. But we were going to have an interview today with a certain talent out there. And that talent wanted questions ahead of time to – I guess, get conditioned to what we were going to ask. And like I said before, that's just not what we do. And it was just, that was going to be a cluster that was avoided. I'll put it to you like
that. Yeah, this individual wanted the questions and wanted it centered, the interview centered on a certain topic. And that's not how we roll on this GRP.
No, not at all.
You know, we don't give wrestlers questions ahead of time and say, hey, when you get on the show, we're going to talk about this and we're going to hammer it. You've done it. You talked to Vince Russo about the Attitude Era and the ECW copy. I mean, you put it on the line for him. I mean, we've talked about Chris Benoit a lot. That's a very controversial issue in the wrestling business. We talked about Shane McMahon. I mean, I asked Paul London about the sloppiest wrestler he's ever worked with. I mean, mm-hmm. You're laying it on the line. We're not just asking the usual, you know, who's your favorite wrestler growing up kind of questions, because that's not entertaining to me. Who cares? Who cares if Haystack Calhoun was so-and-so's favorite wrestler growing up? Who cares?
Right.
I don't care. Do you care? When the interview's over, will you remember that Buddy Rogers was Matt Hardy's favorite wrestler? If it was, I don't know. I'm just throwing out a name as an example. I won't remember it because it won't mean anything to me. But I will remember who Paul London said was the sloppiest wrestler he ever worked with, because that was a question to ask. And, you know, he's a guy to ask because he's going to tell it like it is. And again, I'd like to have Paul London back on the show because that's the kind of interview I enjoy. You know, I did an interview with him by myself a couple years ago, and I said to Frank, you'd be a very good subject. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's have him on. That's the kind of interviews we want. And if anybody's out there listening to this show and says, yeah, I could bring a perspective to your show, yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to entertain out there. We don't want the usual BS. We know Frank's staying up front of this podcast. There's 4 million podcasts available through the TuneIn app. So we're trying to stick out from those 4 million. And we want to bring a bit different perspective. We want to put on an entertaining show. We want to feel like we're doing the show for you and not for our own entertainment. Because, you know, Frank and I talked for years after we did the hotline. We had some great conversations. And we're like, hey, maybe we should put this on a podcast. And we're trying to do things that are a little bit different, out of the box, bring a different perspective, entertain at the same time. And feedback is great. And you liked this interview, you didn't like this interview. Hey, do you ever think about doing this person? Do you ever think about doing this person? I mean, there's been people that suggested to us that we've tried to reach out to and that probably will happen in the future. Some may not, for whatever reason it may be. I think our style will preclude certain talents from coming on the show because they don't want the hardball questions. Well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Again, I'd rather them say, hey, I don't want to come on your show right now because of whatever the reason is. There's something I don't want to talk about, I don't want to discuss, I don't want you guys to dive into this area, whatever it is. But you know, we always try to be respectful of the talent, and we always try to put on a entertaining interview for you, the fans out there. So, again, if any way you can support us, we really appreciate it. Frank's talked about the T-shirts, the Audible trial, Audible to sign up for the free audio book. Again, if you can't spend the money right now, put out the word on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Text your friend. Call your friend. The old communication, Frank. Write a letter. I don't care, but let them know that, hey, you know, GRP keeps it real, keeps it 1,000%. We try to tell it like it is, and if you don't agree with us, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, we try to entertain out there.
Absolutely. Didn't say the better myself.
Absolutely. So, again, support us at gerwek.net. That's www.gerwek.net. You can check out the previous interviews we've done. Definitely check out the Paul London interview. Definitely recommend that one. 3 parts. You can check out the different parts to see what was discussed on each part. But hopefully you check all 3 parts out. And another thing is, if you like interviews chopped up into different segments, let me know as well. Because sometimes we do an interview and it's 2 hours long. And is that what you want on a podcast? Do you want a 2-hour podcast? Or would you prefer 45 minutes here, 45 minutes there, 45 minutes in another segment? Let me know. Again, the feedback is what makes us go. Frank's talked about our Facebook discussion group, which you can interact with us there. Frank's always posting things and interesting topics to get into. And, you know, we're on Twitter. I'm Gerwek on Twitter. I'm Steve Gerwek if you want to fight the real NWO, not the Hulk Hogan NWO, the real NWO out there that's trying to crash our society and take over the internet, take over our health care, and take our guns and bankrupt us, etc. I'm at Steve Gerwek on Twitter. Frank is Real Frank DEE on Twitter. Again, we're on TuneIn, we're on Stitcher. A lot of different ways for you to communicate with us. Also, quickly plug in, on Sunday starts our March Madness tournament. If you want to put your name in the tournament, possibly win a prize, we're going to do the greatest female wrestler category this year. We've done the greatest heavyweight champion, the greatest tag team champions, the best in the world, the greatest intercontinental champion. We did last year with Randy Savage going over winning. This year we're going to do the greatest women's wrestler. I know I got a little bit of flack for some of the people in and some people out. You know, Frank, no matter who you put in a field of 64, people are going to say, how come this one's in and how come this one's not in? How did she get in and she didn't get in? At the end of the day, Frank, when we get the 64 in the field, we get the 64 what we feel is the best. Maybe people argue that, but at the end of the day, we're trying to determine who is the greatest female wrestler of all time, and hopefully fans will take it to heart. They'll watch the Lipstick documentary about the women's wrestling. You go back and look up some of these women. There's really good All Japan women wrestling out there. Shimmer puts on a great product with women athletes, Shimmer athletes. Shine puts on an all-women's pay-per-view. I know AJ's talking about it with her tweet about, you know, women's wrestling right now. Hopefully fans will vote on who is the best women's wrestler of all time, and they're not just voting on who's the cutest, who has the biggest puppies, the best behinds. You know, we're going to vote on who we think is represents the world of wrestling, puts on the best matches, made an impact in this business. Somebody said the other day, is your tournament based on wrestling or the biggest impact? Well, to me, Frank, they go hand in hand as a wrestler.
Right.
Wrestling ability and impact on the industry, right? You can't just say, well, he's a great wrestler and has no impact. I mean, when I think of a great wrestler, it's the wrestling skills and what they brought to the table, their impact on the business. So I think when you talk about the greatest female wrestler, it's both. So who do you think is the greatest female wrestler? And I'll put Frank D on the spot as we end here. Frank D, in your mind, because I've been asking people, and I'll be posting things at girlwick.net. I got a lot of responses. I asked people in the business, journalists, et cetera, on who you think is the greatest female wrestler of
Victoria.
All time. I got quite a variety, and people may be surprised to see who some people said, but Frank D votes for Victoria as the greatest female wrestler of all time.
Yep.
And what sells you on Victoria?
Victoria is not only a beautiful woman, but she actually can go out there and wrestle, and she was very entertaining when she had that crazy gimmick she was doing with Stevie Richards back in the day.
Yes.
That was really good stuff.
So, again, this tournament will launch on March the 1st, which is Sunday. So definitely stay tuned for that. And, again, we always appreciate your support here at girlwick.net. Again, spread the word about this podcast. Let everybody know that the GRP is an entertaining product, that we try to entertain the wrestling fans at a time where it's, you know, wrestling stinks right now, to be honest with you.
It does. No buzz.
When, Bret Hart would say, you know, eat, sleep, and drink wrestling, even when wrestling doesn't taste very good. Well, right now, wrestling doesn't taste very good. And so we try to entertain you the best way we can and try to make some semblance of what's going on in the world out there. So we definitely do appreciate support. Go to the ProWrestlingTees.com right now and definitely check out a T-shirt. Three great designs. And as always, we definitely do appreciate the support out there. So definitely keep checking out girlwick.net. And as always, Frank, a blast talking to you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again.